Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us once again for the live webcast. In England, it's a cold, grey day. But what about you, Barry? How are you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Good.
Thank you.
Good, good. You're having a good week.
Yeah, not too bad. You know, as I shared, I'm getting a little older for all the technical challenges.
Surely not. Surely not. You love it, really, don't you?
Are we getting a really big delay? Do you think I should
come? I don't see a big delay with you.
Okay.
Are you getting a big delay? Do you want to go out and come back in?
Yeah, I think I maybe should.
You'll feel happier with that.
Okay.
Good. Okay. We'll get Barry back in a second.
Actually, you know what? I'm good.
You're good.
It's a Christmas. I pushed a button and everything is fine now.
Oh, well, we're very glad about that. The pigeons have obviously flown off the line. Do you know, I think sometimes, Barry, when a computer is doing something in the background, it slows the video feed down. I've noticed that.
Yes.
Anyway, here we are. We're back again. Yes. Technical issues, whatever.
Aside.
Aside, yes, that would do. Good. So any news, anything we want to sort of mention? And Mike said there is a delay. Mike said there is a delay. I'm not seeing that.
There is a delay.
Well, do you want to come back? Do you want to go out and come back in and we'll just give it a go and see if that makes any difference?
Give it a go? Okay, yeah. I'll give it a shot.
Okay. Here we go. This is what it looks like in the room before Barry comes in. And then the phone rings and I let him in a minute, I hope. Here we go. There we go. How's that? Stop it.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
No, well, maybe we should just let you speak tonight.
I think this is an indication where we, you know, Mark and I have been friends for so long. It's just, I think I become very predictable to him.
Yes.
When I try to...
I know when he's pretending. Yeah. Anyway, we'll give this a go, see how we get on. But what we wanted to do today was just carry on our conversation about what it means to be in Christ. We started this conversation off last week. It's such a big thing. And I think it's one of those kind of little phrases, in Christ, that we read, we've become very familiar with. It's mentioned about 150 times in the New Testament. And it's something like we get very familiar with it and we don't realize the enormity of the revelation that's contained in those two words. So we just want to unpack it a little bit more this evening. I was reading this morning the verse in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, in order that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." And I've just been meditating on that second part of the verse today, you know, that times of refreshing would come from the Lord. And I really believe as we look at this today and we consider what it means to be in Christ, that it would be for all of us, those watching live, those watching later, that it really would be a time of refreshing that comes from the Lord for each one of us. So we're just going to unpack this a little bit more. But Barry, do you want to pray for us first of all? And then we'll kind of get into it again.
Absolutely. Yes, Father, thank you that we are in Christ when we have opened our hearts up to just simply believe and receive the free gift that you've given us in your Son.
Yeah.
I pray, Father, that, you know, today we would all be, just an expanded view of what that actually means to be in Christ, that it wouldn't be something that is just familiar and kind of something that we think we have fully grasped, that every day is a new opportunity for us to go deeper and higher and wider in this amazing revelation of who you are and who we are in light of your love for us. And so we just pray for open hearts today and pray that that we would just, there would just be a new, an anticipation of new mercies, new revelation, being transformed from glory to glory for all of us today as we unpack this. And and I just pray for both Mark and I when we are trying to describe the indescribable. We just need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us to be able to even put form, put words to things that are beyond description. So we just commit that to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Barry. Just before I kind of kick off with a few thoughts, just to remind those of us who were together last week, though, and for the benefit of those who weren't with us last week, Barry had a kind of an encounter with the Lord, which was very significant, very poignant. And so just Barry, just kick us off with that, and then I'll pick up a few thoughts before we come back to discuss it together.
Sure, I'd be happy to. It was just friends were visiting from Australia, and we were just together and just had a time of prayer and fellowship together. And so our friend just said, just kind of encouraging us to imagine, use the imagination that God has given us to actually kind of visualize in a very healthy, godly way, just what, you know, some of the realms of the heavenly realms. And so he just had said, we just want to imagine being seated in heavenly places, as it says in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 2. And so he had us stand up, and then he said, okay, we're going to sit down. And when you sit down, just maybe just ask God to help your imagination to picture that. And so, you know, and I was going with the flow. It was all fun. And then but when I sat down, as soon as my arms touched the armchair that I was sitting in, all of a sudden I felt like I was actually seated in heavenly places. And every time I've imagined that before, it's like, you know, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and, you know, he's got this big throne, and I've maybe a little chair just sitting beside him, you know. But in this actual kind of encounter that I had, it was like I was in Christ. I wasn't like beside him. I was in him, and I was looking out his eyes. And as he was looking at the sea of glass, and it was like I was seeing what he was seeing. But then in that moment, I started to realize there was this shimmering happening. And when I say that, it's, and I don't know, Mark, in England, if you have, you know, 3D, maybe football cards or something. But, there's these cards that you get in North America for baseball and hockey and football, where you kind of, there's two images on one card. They call them 3D cards. And if you, depending on how you tilt it, it gives a different image, right? And it was like that was happening. And it was like it was Jesus, but then it was me in Jesus. And then it was Jesus. And it was like shimmering back and forth. And then the Father was sitting there. And I thought, I wonder what he thinks about all this. And he just looked over at, and he was looking at Jesus when it was shimmering. And he had this joyful look on his face, just absolute delight in his son. But then the shimmering, then it was me. And he didn't change his expression at all. It was just this absolute love and acceptance. And then I started to realize that, you know, all of the sea of glass, all the people that were in the throne room, they were experiencing the same thing I was with Jesus, that they were in Christ as well. And so there's that shimmering that was happening with each and every one of them. And then it, you know, it went even further when I started to realize that their union with Christ brought me into a union with them. And it was this, like, and it's really just, it's, you know, it's indescribable what that experience was. And then, of course, I felt that the Father said, you can come up here anytime. And it was like, wow, okay, I'll take you up on that one. But then, you know, when you started to realize it was just something in me. And again, you start to understand, for me, when Jesus taught in parables, right? He told stories to illustrate spiritual truths. And it was like something happened in that encounter. And it wasn't like I was still in my body. It was in my imagination. It wasn't anything that I even, to me, it was just so normal. Like it was just, my imagination. God can actually use our imagination. But it was real. And it imprinted something in me that I saw the reality of what it means to be in Christ in a different way than I've ever experienced before. And I, you know, been a Christian almost 50 years. So it was pretty cool. And that was the impetus last week when Mark and I had a conversation about being in Christ. And I, I shared that story just to kick it off. So Mark thought it would be a good idea if I share it again today, just in case somebody is listening or watching or afterwards that wasn't didn't hear last week. So there you go.
I love it. I mean, and even if people were here last week, it's good to hear it again. And I just love what you say, Barry. It just felt so normal. You know, and I can go there anytime. I think, you know, that's the whole point, because that's where we are in him. You know, it's trying to understand the heavenly reality rather than being stuck in, you know, the reality of our daily lives. That the heavenly reality is that we are in Christ, and no one can rob us of that. So thanks, Barry. I just want to unpack a few thoughts and then bring you back in. Is that okay? So I'll see you in a few minutes.
Sounds good.
I mean, so that we kicked off last week with that, and that was an incredible place to start, you know, hearing Barry's encounter and, you know, just that sort of reality of our position in Christ, that's how the Father sees us. And, you know, I love Barry's expression of the shimmering nature of it, because that to me speaks of the glory of the Father's presence. You know, there's this glory which is just something I think that one day we will see and understand in all its fullness. But like these days, we just get a glimpse of it. I just love the way Barry says, you know, it's normal. I can be there anytime. And, you know, that's what I think I want for us to kind of begin to grasp, is that we can have a realization, you know, that all of the time, every moment we are in Christ. And that's how the Father sees us. You know, that's the truth from heaven's perspective. That's the truth. And I know we get stuck in the problems of the world and the hassles of the world, and, you know, our identity is very often shaken, and, you know, the enemy wants to speak lies to us. And, you know, we read in John 10 that the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. And we know we're often at the end of that, you know, something is trying to be stolen from us or destroyed within us. And yet Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness. So last week we kind of started with that encounter that Barry had, and then we just kind of just talked about how being in Christ, the fundamental foundational thing about it is it's a relationship. And we talked a little bit about the John 15, abiding in the vine, and that the source of our life comes through Christ. You know, it's the life of the Father, the life of the Spirit, the life of the Son being poured into us. And, you know, principally this is what we're talking about, is we're describing a relationship. And towards the end of our time last week, we kind of just focused a little bit on Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2. And at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1, right at the beginning of that chapter, Paul says, you know, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, I don't know if you can imagine what every spiritual blessing looks like, but to me, that kind of feels like an awful lot of blessing. And that is our inheritance in Christ. You know, the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And throughout Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2, Paul kind of just lists a few of these individual blessings. So just to sort of name a few of them, you know, it's, you know, we're chosen by him. We've been made holy and blameless in him. We have the full rights of sonship. We've been redeemed. We've been forgiven. We've been shown the mystery of his will. You know, all of these things have been freely given to us, you know, not only freely given, but lavished, you know, upon us, that generous, overflowing provision of abundant blessing. And I think if you read through Ephesians chapter 1, I think, from if my memory is correct, there's about 20 individual blessings that are ours in Christ. And then Paul goes on into chapter 2 and there's more of them listed. And, you know, each one of those blessings on its own is huge. You know, let me just flick back to the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1. You know, he's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You know, that's just one or two blessings, but even that on its own is huge. You know, the next one is he predestined us. Before the creation of the world, he predestined us to receive the full rights of sonship. You know, that's huge. And that's just one of these blessings. You know, we've got redemption through his blood. That's huge. The forgiveness of sins. That's huge. You know, and when we look at these individually, each one of them is just enormous and incredible. But when we take them together and we see that every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ, we just begin to see how incredibly generous and kind our Father is. You know, these taken together, they represent, you know, as Barry kind of said in his introduction, we're trying to describe the indescribable. And when we put all these blessings together, they just become so big and so impacting that we really feel like we are trying to describe this indescribable inheritance that the Father has lavished upon us. You know, we're trying to put words to something that it's very difficult to put words to. But it's like the Father has packaged all of these blessings together. And he said, this is what I give to my sons and daughters. This is what I give to those who are following and walking with me. And, you know, I kind of think that even if we only partially understood what every spiritual blessing looks like, it would be an enormous gift. It would be a huge inheritance. But actually, the Father doesn't want us just to partially understand it. He wants us to fully understand it and to fully live in it. You see, we cannot make ourselves be in Christ through our own effort or through our own works. You know, it's a gift. You know, we read this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You know, it says, it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And even this faith doesn't come from yourselves. It's a gift of God. God gives us the faith so that we've got the ability to believe in him and to begin to receive this incredible inheritance and gift and see it as a gift of grace. You know, it's by grace you've been saved through faith. This not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. See, if it was all about my works and my ability and my effort, you know, and if I can make myself to be in Christ through my own works, then, you know, I would feel pretty pleased with myself. You know, I would want to boast about that. I would want to tell everybody else about it. I would want to pointing a finger at people who were not enjoying what I was enjoying and saying, oh, you're not doing enough, you know, and you're not working hard enough. But, you know, thankfully, it's not about my works. It's not about my effort. It's not about anything I do. It's a gift of grace. And it's a gift of grace that is given freely. You know, it's grace. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. We can't even work that up ourselves. It's a gift of God. And, you know, we are God's handiwork. Created what? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. You see, I often say that, you know, God has got things for us to do. You know, he's got a plan, he's got good works that he's prepared in advance and he's put our name on. See, we spend a lot of our time doing good works. They don't have our name on it. And they end up being a burden, they end up being a struggle. We end up getting worn out and we kind of wonder what it means, you know. He promised me a life of rest. He promised me an easy yoke. He promised me an easy burden. And that's all true when we discover the good works that he's prepared for us to do. When I do what he has prepared for me to do, it's an easy yoke, it's an easy burden. If I try to do the good works that have got Barry's name on them, it's impossible. You know, how can I possibly compete with the creative ability that is unique to who Barry is and the gifts that the Father has prepared for him to do? See, you know, I think that's what we often do is we look at, you know, what someone else is doing and think, I'd love to do that, but it hasn't got our name on. It's not a good work that the Father has prepared for us to do. And so we pick up all of these other things and we try and do them in our own strength and our own abilities, and we get exhausted because we're spending our life doing good works, but they're not the good works that have been created in Christ Jesus in advance with our name on. And I really want to encourage you to say to the Father, Father, what are the good works that you've already prepared for me to do? You know, I don't know if you remember from school, science experiments. You know, there was preparation beforehand, and then you would do the experiment. You know, when you're decorating, you have to spend time preparing, and then you can do the actual creative decorating, painting or whatever. The preparation often takes longer than the actual job that you're trying to do. And here, you know, what we read is that the preparation has already been done for us by God the Father. You know, God has done the hard graft. He's done the preparation. He's put our name on it and he gives it to us and says, this is something for you to do. And I want to encourage you to ask the Father what good works have been prepared for you to do. Don't look at the good works that anybody else is doing. You know, if I try and look at what Barry's doing, you know, I get stressed out because I can't be Barry. And we were talking before the webcast started about various technical issues and so on and so forth. And, you know, in a sense, you know, that's kind of like what I'm a bit stronger at. And, you know, and Barry was saying, you know, I don't want this to go wrong. And I'm kind of thinking, well, what can possibly go wrong, you know? But it's just that, in a sense, that's something that is, you know, there's good works that have got my name on that I can do and I can do easily, because the Father has given me the gifts and the abilities and he said, Mark, this is something with your name on. And there are things for all of us that, because we are in Christ, there are these good works. I just encourage you to find out what they are and do them with all of your heart. Because when you do, you will be fruitful. And you will discover that it is an easy yoke, an easy burden, a light burden. And you know, it might take a bit of effort, it might take a bit of time, but your heart will not be becoming worn out because you're lined up with the purposes of the Father that he has for your life. See, it's a gift of grace, and it's given to us because we've been created in Christ Jesus to do these good works that the Father has prepared in advance. We can't make ourselves to be in Christ through our own works. We only receive it as a gift. And one of the things I've discovered is, you know, an orphan heart can't understand, can't grasp what I've just been talking about. Because an orphan is so geared into works and performance and striving and trying to make a name for themselves and trying to make something happen and, you know, trying to look good. See, an orphan doesn't realize the truth of who they are. You know, they are in Christ, but they just don't see it. They don't realize it. They haven't grasped the truth of who they are. And so in their mind, everybody else is in Christ, but they're not. They're living outside of Christ. As far as the Father is concerned, they are absolutely rock solid in him. But the eyes of their heart can't see it. And so to them, it's all about good works. It's all about performance. It's all about striving. You know, I have to do enough to please God. And here we see Paul saying it's a gift of grace that is given to you simply because you're sons and daughters. So an orphan can't get hold of this. But the more we understand who we are as sons and daughters, the more we can begin to see the truth of this incredible inheritance that is given to us, you know, as we have that realization, if you like, that we are in Christ. See, when we are in Christ, we have his Spirit in us, which causes us to cry, Abba. You know, we know that God is our Father. We know we've got that intimate relationship with him that we talked about last week. And we know that we belong to him. See, it's the Spirit of sonship in our hearts that draws us, irrespective of what's happening in our lives, it draws us into that unity and oneness where we truly understand that, yes, my life is hidden in Christ, in God, that we are in him. Colossians 2, verse 9, it says, again, in Christ, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ you have been brought to that fullness. You know, again, just as we were talking about every spiritual blessing, you know, here we're talking about all the fullness of the deity, the Godhead, the Trinity. I don't know, just imagine for a second, what does that look like? What does all of the fullness of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit look like? I mean, again, it's trying to describe the indescribable, you know, but yet all of the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ. The fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, the fullness of the Spirit is in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we get to share in that fullness. And to me, that's a lot of fullness. Yeah, I can't really describe it in any other way, but it's a lot of fullness because it's everything that God is. Be it the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit, it's everything that God is being poured into our lives. And that's why I keep saying that this is incredible. You know, it's absolutely amazing. It's so big. And I guess what Barry and I want to try and explore together is how we can begin to comprehend or see or experience the enormity of what those two little words in Christ means, what it really means. When we read through Colossians, we see that we've been given, Colossians 2 verse 2, it says we've been given the full riches of complete understanding in order that we may know the mystery. And it is a bit of a mystery. The mystery of Christ, namely, the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom, in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And as we are in Christ, we begin to partake of this treasure trove of wisdom and understanding. See, Paul says we were dead in our sins, but we've been made alive in Christ. And we've been made alive not to kind of struggle on and kind of keep hold of our ticket to heaven in one hand, you know, and just think, well, one day it's going to be all right. But actually, he wants us to live in the all right now because we're in Christ. You know, that doesn't mean all our problems will be taken away. It doesn't mean all of our issues will be dealt with. But it means we have a peace that goes beyond understanding, because we're no longer trying to live our life on our own. We're living a life that is wrapped up and is intrinsically woven into the personality and nature of Christ, the perfect Son. And we take on that nature of sonship because we are in him. And you know, this really is such an incredible life of freedom. Again, it's the indescribable, but it's a life of freedom that I believe we've yet to experience the fullness of the freedom that God has for us. And, you know, the more we understand that we are in Christ, that as sons and daughters, our identity is so woven together with that of the Son, that actually it sets our hearts free. And we begin to live in this incredible freedom. And so I kind of just want to kind of draw my bit to a close and just ask the question of us, how do we see ourselves? How do you see yourself? You know, do you see yourself kind of, you know, as an orphan on the edge, on the outside? Or do you see yourself in this incredible big picture, where our inheritance is the same as Jesus' inheritance? That everything that was given to the Son is given to us because we are a son, we're a daughter. That we're caught up in this beautiful relationship. And yet we might struggle with what I call the reality gap, you know, the heavenly reality and the earthly reality. But, you know, actually the truth is that we live in the heavenly reality. You live in the heavenly reality of being in Christ, seated in Christ, in the heavenly places. Yeah, we live in a broken world, and it's getting more broken. And there's that constant struggle, the pain and the heartache. But the more we become rooted and grounded in love, the more the roots of, when we talked about this last week, the more the roots of our life go down deep into him and his life flows into us, you know, the more we begin to live as sons and daughters. It says in Colossians chapter 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. You know, it's just that little phrase, set your minds on things above. Let's focus on the heavenly reality and the truth of who we are, not only the truth of who we are, but also the truth of how the Father sees us. So I'm just going to bring Barry back in, and who knows where we'll go from here. Over to you, matey.
Oh, man, I don't know how I can add to that, my brother. It was very, very rich. I thought when you said, you know, being filled with the full measure of the fullness of God. Like, what do we do when we think, when we read that? Like, okay, that's nice. It's a nice thought, but it's there. It's God wants it to become a reality for us. Mm-hmm. And it is a reality. It's just, again, you know, one of those things. It's not like, you know, we're trying to pursue God's love. He is loving us. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, are we aware? Are we awakened to his love? And I guess, to me, it just comes down to the spirit of sonship, you know, the spirit of the Son that has been given to us by virtue of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Yes. And it's the Holy Spirit that pours the love of God into our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that bears witness with our spirits that we are God's children and his heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. And again, it's one of those things that kind of mind-blowing thoughts that, you know, when the Bible says we're joint heirs or co-heirs, and again, this again is our union with Jesus. It doesn't mean that God divides his estate, you know, a billion times and he starts handing it out to his sons and daughters. What it actually means is that Jesus has shared, being a co-heir with Christ, is he shares his entire inheritance with each one of us.
Yeah.
So we get the whole enchilada, as they say. So for me, it's that kind of like, what do we do with that? Like, what does it, you know, I mean, I know it's, you know, we smile and nod, we do our best to try to get it. But I really think that, you know, when we go into ministry time, what if the Holy Spirit wants to dismantle our default settings of what we think these things are?
Yeah.
And, you know, what we think the fullness of the full measure, or as you said, you know, if some of us struggle to even believe that we're loved and valued, then, you know, maybe we can pray blessings on the person beside us, but we have a difficulty believing that every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms applies to us. And what if God wants to, by his Holy Spirit today, just begin to dismantle in a deeper way? And again, it's not about us thinking this through, because it's beyond our intellect, right? It is actually God pouring his love into our hearts. And so, you know, and again, I think of Ephesians 1, 17 and 18 that we quote it often, where Paul prays, for this reason, you know, I keep on asking the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that he might give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better, so that the eyes of your heart may be flooded with light, that they might be opened so that you might know the hope of your calling, and the glorious inheritance that we have together with the saints. So, is there a chance? I believe it's the Father's desire. Jesus said, don't fear, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What if, even now when you're listening, wherever you are, that God, by his outpouring Holy Spirit that is in you and in us, would want to awaken in us something that can't come by human effort. It can't come, like you quoted about it being a gift. It's not by works. It's not something we try to achieve or we have to be good enough to receive. It's just, in essence, I believe it's, you know, Jesus said, except you receive the kingdom like a little child, that you won't enter into it. So in essence, you know, children don't come with a lot of gifting, a lot of anointing, a lot of power, a lot of money, a lot of expertise. They're just open vessels, you know, as Jesus said in Matthew 11, when he said, I thank you, Father, for you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. And the Greek word there is untaught, unskilled, wordless infants. So maybe, perhaps, you know, what gets in the way is the wise and the learned stuff, you know, where we try to say, okay, what is this like through our human effort and our human understanding? And I'm just asking the question, because I'm in the same boat with everybody else, right? Like when God wants to fill us with the full measure of his fullness. Like, what does that actually mean? And so for me, I'm with you, bro. I am all in to say, Father, you know, all the limitations that I've placed on the enormity of the inheritance that I have in Christ, just help me by your Holy Spirit to dismantle those, and would the Holy Spirit imprint on my being the reality in a greater measure today than yesterday of the unsearchable riches we have in Christ.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
That's good, man.
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Just before we go into just the time just of praying and just letting those times of blessings flow into our lives. If you want to kind of read a little bit more about this, I was going to put it up on the screen earlier on, but I've written an article about what I think, you know, some of these things about what it means to be in Christ. So if you go to my website, www.afathertoyou.com, and then find the articles page in the media section. One of the articles is called In Christ. It's a free PDF that you can download. And it's kind of really just writing about some of these things that Barry and I have been trying to describe over these last couple of weeks. So if you're interested in that, it's on the website, afathertoyou.com, and then /articles. And you'll find it there. Very welcome to download that. But, you know, let's just open our hearts and the Father has promised us all of the fullness. You know, he's promised us every spiritual blessing. Let's not settle for a half measure. Let's just open our hearts to begin to see, begin to experience the enormity of this gift that's been given to us. You know, that in Christ, everything that is his is ours. You know, how much do you want? You can have as much as you've got faith for. You know, how much, it's an unlimited, you know, when we talk about all of the fullness or every spiritual blessing, we're going to be spending eternity discovering what that means. So let's kind of get in gear now and say, hey Father, this is what I want. And let's just open our hearts to him, because he wants to pour his love into our hearts. He wants to expand our vision of what it means to be in Christ, what our inheritance as a son or daughter is. Father, thank you that you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And just when we begin to look at the list of those blessings, each one of them is huge. Each one of them is life-changing. You know, we could write books on each blessing individually, but you've put them all together as a package. And you blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You blessed us with all the fullness of the deity. I mean, that's mind-blowing to even begin to comprehend what that looks like. But that's our inheritance in Christ. You've prepared good works for us to do. You've done the preparation. You've done the hard graft, and you put our name on it. Father, help us to find those things with our name on and to do them with all of our heart. Father, may we just have a glimpse today of the enormity, the power, the life-changing significance of what it means to be in Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Yeah, and we thank you, Father, that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
Yeah.
And Jesus' heart for us to come to you was when he, in Matthew 7, 7 to 11, when he said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be open. Then he finishes that with saying, the Luke version of that passage of scripture says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who will ask for it? So Father, we just ask even right now as your kids, just for a greater measure, a greater revelation, a greater expansion in our inner being by the Holy Spirit, Father, that we would not try to limit you or define you by our human intellect, but somehow your Holy Spirit would find a way of bypassing all of the gates and the filters that we have put up to try to define the immeasurable eternal love that you have for us. And I just encourage you just to take a deep breath. One of the names of God is the Ruach of God, the breath of God, the wind of God. And that just even as an act of faith, just to say, Father, I'm just going to breathe in your love. I know that in you I live and move and have my being, and that every breath comes from you, and the life and the breath comes from your life. And Father, would you just expand our capacity even now, that you would just stretch our love tanks, that we would have be rooted and grounded in love, and that the Holy Spirit would give us power even in this moment to grasp how big and how wide and how high and how long your love is for us, and that we might be filled to the full measure of God in Christ Jesus. That is our inheritance. That is our birthright. That's what you created us to experience. Would you just begin to awaken in us the good works that you prepared in advance for us to do in Christ? That we are not separated in any way, shape, or form. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody who is watching or listening to this,
thank you, Father. Father, just speak to each one of us those words of life. Father, speak words of life, words of encouragement. Father, we don't want the enemy to steal or kill or rob what you're doing, what you're showing to us. But we want the life that comes from being in Christ. Father, even when we begin to imagine what this looks like, you say that you do more than we can ask or imagine. So Father, just expand our vision, expand our heart, expand our desire just for more of you. That you would just open doors before us to show us, your heart, to show us who you are. Father, to go on speaking life into us, that we truly would understand our position in Christ, that we are sons, we live in sonship just as Jesus lived in sonship. And everything that was given to him is given to us. This is huge. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Did you go and have a coffee break or something, Barry?
As far as I was concerned, I was praying. My eyes were closed, and I was off somewhere in the third heaven. And all of a sudden, the music stopped. And I thought, why did the music stop? And I opened my eyes, and I'm disconnected.
Well, obviously, we can't get the third heaven on our webcast quite just yet. We'll have to work on that one. Anyway, thank you all for being with us once again. We really appreciate it. I guess we'll be back next week, same time, same place. So come and join us.
Bless you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See you then. Bye-bye.